All right, well, welcome again. You know, it was 1956 when Lester, or Les Wass, was let loose in New York City with a 12-inch bell and an order to record a 3-minute radio ad for a small ice cream company, Mr. Smoothie, I believe it was called. Well, as legend goes, he created a lyrical chime-filled tune in one take and named it Jingles and Chimes. Decades later, generations of Americans, certainly thousands of parents who were frustrated, will never be able to get his jingle out of their heads. Actually, Wass wrote more than 970 jingles before his death 5 years ago. But his prolific advertising career is even more amazing when you consider one of his other titles, President of the Procrastinators Club of America. Formed more than 50 years ago, they apparently have 20,000 registered members, but they claim that 20 million more just haven't got around to joining yet. The club was actually born out of a joke. 1956, when Wass and his fellow ad men convinced one of Philadelphia's largest hotels to put up a sign in front of their ballroom that read, "The Procrastination Club meeting has been postponed." Well, local press jumped on the sign, and soon Wass was holding meetings and staging events, including a 4th of July picnic on January 6th, peace protest against the War of 1812, and their motto, "We're behind you all the way." They celebrate three holidays, this club: National Procrastination Week, which is the first week of March, or if you're late, the second week of March. There's National Be Late for Something Day, September 5th. And the third one? Well, the other one hasn't been created yet, Wass said. The Procrastinator's Creed: I truly believe that all deadlines are unreasonable, regardless of the amount of time given them. I believe that if anything is worth doing, it would have already been done. I shall never move quickly except to avoid more work or find more excuses. If at first I don't succeed, well, there's always next year. And I'll never put off until tomorrow what I can forget about forever. Can you relate to that? Can you relate to their creed? A recent survey of Americans found that only 10% of Americans say they struggle with procrastination. Of course, 90% never got around to filling out the survey either. Mankind tends to think that anything worth doing is worth doing tomorrow. But the truth is, putting things off often causes additional problems. A farm boy once accidentally overturned his wagon load of corn onto the road, and the farmer who lived nearby came to investigate, and he said, "Hey, Willis," he called out, "forget your troubles for a spell and come on in and have dinner with us. Then I'll help you get the wagon up." "Well, that's mighty nice of you," Willis answered, "but I don't think Pa would like me to." "Oh, come on," the farmer insisted. "Well, okay," the boy finally agreed, "but Pa won't like it." After a hearty dinner, Willis thanked his host. He says, "I feel a lot better now, but I just know Pa is going to be real upset." "Well, don't be silly," exclaimed the neighbor. "By the way, where is he?" "Well, he's under the wagon." Procrastination can cause harm. You know, we're in a series called Win the Day, the idea that every day can be won for Jesus, with problems and without. We just have to look at the day properly. The first week we looked at a phrase called flip the story, that if you want to change your life, you have to change your story. The second was kiss the waves. The obstacle is not the enemy, it's the way through. And today we look at eat the frog. And if you want God to do the super, that you've got to do the natural. And all of this with proper credit is inspired by a book that just came out from Pastor Mark Batterson entitled Win the Day. You know, in Isaiah 28, verse 24 to 26, it says, "Does a farmer always plow and never sow? Is he forever cultivating the soil and never planting? Does he not finally plant his seeds? Black cumin, cumin, wheat, barley, emmer wheat, each in its proper way and each in its proper place? The farmer knows just what to do, for God has given him understanding." You do what you have to do when you have to do it. That phrase, by the way, eat the frog, it comes from Mark Twain, who said two things. He said, one, if you ever have to eat a live frog, it's best done first thing in the morning. And secondly, if you have to eat two frogs, he reportedly recommended eating the bigger one first. Why eat the frog in the morning? Why is that? Because you can go through the rest of your day knowing that the hardest thing of your day is already behind you. Or as Zig Ziglar paraphrased it years later, if you got to eat a frog, just looking at it doesn't make it any better. And that's certainly true in the literal sense. Looking at a frog makes it worse, in my opinion. But the deeper meaning here is also true. To do unpleasant things from time to time, make a tough decision, say no to a friend, turn down a proposal, confront sinful behavior, have a difficult conversation, tackle a hard problem, talk to people we know will disagree with us. It's like eating a frog. It's no fun, no one likes it, and it's never easy. But just looking at it isn't going to make it any easier or any better. So I ask, what to-do list items are you most tempted to procrastinate on? What goals have you had forever but not taken the first step toward? What difficult decisions have you been delaying in your life? Whatever they are, that's your frog. And eating it is the third habit if you wish to win the day, as we've mentioned. Although it's admittedly a hard one to swallow. Okay. First thing we need to do, though, is to understand the causes of procrastination. Anytime you know what you need to do and you keep putting it off, well, it's always one of these five reasons. Number one is indecision. James 1:8 says, the double-minded man is unstable in all that he does. Today, with all the choices we have in life, there's always a temptation to procrastinate. Second cause of procrastination is perfectionism. The problem is we set such a high standard. Then we think, I can't do that, so we never begin in the first place. Third is fear. Whenever we're afraid of something, we tend to put it off, don't we? It could be the fear of failure or even the fear of success. What if I fail? Or worse yet, what if I achieve it? How do I top that? Fear can keep you from making that tough phone call, scheduling that counseling appointment, sharing your faith, volunteering your talents, or even pursuing your dreams. Fourth cause, passive resistance. If you're a parent, you know all about this one. Kids do it all the time. You tell them you want to do something, and what do they say? Just a minute, right? That's a cause of procrastination. And the last one is laziness. Proverbs 13:4 says, lazy people want much but get. America's two favorite words today are easy and fast. It off is going to get easier. But the truth is, procrastination only makes things worse. So whenever you're procrastinating, you need to first ask, what's the cause? Why am I procrastinating? Now, I'm sure that some of you listening right now are already under a conviction. You want to reach over and turn me off, but you just keep putting it off, don't you? Procrastination. The interesting thing about procrastination is that it's so easy to justify. One day, I'll get serious about my relationship with God. One day, I'm going to forgive that person that hurt me. One day, I'm going to get back in shape. One day, I'm going to get my finances in order. One day, I'll find a ministry and start serving God. I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge myself as well to be a now person. Start doing what God has placed on our hearts today. If the enemy can't get us to be outright disobedient, his next plan of attack is to deceive us into putting it off. We know what we should do, but we just don't do it. You see, procrastination and disobedience are just two shades of the same sin. For this is true. Good intentions do not equal obedience. Delayed obedience is deliberate disobedience. Delayed obedience is deliberate disobedience. And when we're disobedient, we cannot have God's hand of blessing on our lives. Whenever God is speaking to your heart and you keep putting it off, it's going to keep you from getting God's very best for your life and rob you of your joy and your victory. What does it rob you of? Well, first, procrastination robs you of opportunities for spiritual growth. Nobody's going to be rewarded for good intentions. Someday we're going to stand before God and give an account for how we used our time. It will be based strictly on what we actually have done, not what we intended to do. Has God been speaking to you about starting a Bible study, spending time in your devotions, having more time with God in prayer, confessing, forsaking that sin or that habit? I recall something on a label on a carpet cleaner I once read that said, the quicker you use this, the easier it is to remove the stain. The same is true of sin in your life. The quicker we confess it, the sooner we can live in victory. This principle applies in every area of our spiritual growth. When God brings something to light, that is when you need to take action. The longer you put things off, the more difficult it's going to be. People say, well, how do I know if such and such is really the right time? How can I know if it's God's timing? Well, friends, I can tell you this. It is God's timing when he's dealing with you about it. That's pure and simple. You know, Nike has a slogan on their sportswear, and that slogan is, just do it. That's a phrase we should always remember when God speaks to our heart. See, here is another truism. Time is the ballot that records your vote on what really matters in life. You always have time to do what you will put your heart to. How many of us, for example, who do not read the Bible faithfully can honestly say to God, Lord, I just don't have 12 extra minutes a day to devote to your word. Jesus is not impressed with us showing up to church every now and then, physical or virtual. Jesus wants to get in on the inside of us so that he can change our way of thinking, so he can change our way of speaking and doing things. You have as much of God in you right now as you want to have. Each and every one of us determines each day how much of Jesus we're going to let into our lives. You can illustrate that by saying, you know, you can want to have a very big bank account. You can even brag that you've got $1 million in your bank account when in reality you've only got $10. The bank is fine with your bragging. You can do all of that you want. The problem is when you try to take out more than you've put in. So I ask you this morning, do you want to take out more of God than you've put into your relation with him? Secondly, procrastination robs you of opportunities for service. A scholar surveyed the scriptures to discover the most significant words in all the Bible. He wanted to find the saddest word, the happiest word, the most emotional word, and so on. When he came around to the Bible's most dangerous word, he identified it as the word tomorrow. He said this, that word is a thief that robs dreamers of their dreams and the talented of their greatest achievements. Tomorrow. You know, James said roughly the same thing. James 4:13 says, look here, you who say today or tomorrow we're going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, and then it's gone. James is also saying that tomorrow is the most dangerous word of all. It's lazy. It's presumptuous. It's reckless. Instead, the word that God prefers today is the word today. Hebrews 3:13, you must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. Galatians 6:10, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Don't miss opportunities to be good to other people. So many times we get so busy with our own needs that we miss the opportunities to sow a seed into the life of another and reap a blessing from God. Now, how do you spell love? For some, that's spelled T-I-M-E. See, when you give me your time, you're giving me a piece of yourself. It's a part of you that can never be taken back also. You cannot love people without investing some of your time in them. You cannot love a church without investing some of your time in its ministries. It is a shame and a disgrace to the Almighty God to waste a day that he has given us. Each time you look at your phone or watch for the time, I encourage you to look also at the spiritual watch and ask, am I doing what I'm doing for the glory of God or for me? Are you putting off doing something that will be a blessing to other people? Here's the challenge for us all at Maranatha. Imagine this. Imagine what could happen if you listed 50 things that you can do for Jesus Christ over the next 2 months, and every day you got a new one accomplished and crossed off. What could be the result of that? Thirdly, procrastination robs us of opportunities to be successful. One of the great secrets of success is simply taking each moment as it comes and investing it the best way possible. You know, I know of no successful person who is a procrastinator. I hope you take that in. If you describe yourself as a chronic procrastinator, that's another way of saying, you know, I'm planning on avoiding a successful life. I don't want a successful life, so I'm just going to procrastinate through it. God wants every single person listening today, wants you and me to be successful. Now, not the way the world defines success, but the way that God defines it. He wants us to be successful. When you read the stories of men and women of God who have found success, you will inevitably discover that they were people who took time very seriously. And lastly, we see that procrastination robs us of the opportunity for salvation. In Acts chapter 24, we have an account of how Paul was trying to share Jesus with a couple of Roman royalty. 24, verse 24. A few days later, Felix came back with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. Sending for Paul, they listened as he told them about faith in Christ Jesus. Paul had to appear before them, you see, as he launched into a defense of Jesus Christ and how a person can experience personal salvation. So who were Felix and Drusilla? From a worldly perspective, Felix's life was a real success story. He was born a slave, later freed, eventually worked his way up to the governor of Judea. But he was such a cruel governor that Nero, who's no bastion of morality himself, had Felix recalled from his position. That's how cruel he was. Now, unlike Felix, Drusilla was a Jew. She comes from a very wicked bloodline, however. She's the daughter of Herod Agrippa I, the one who had the apostle James put to death. She's the great-granddaughter of another Herod, who attempted to kill the baby Jesus by having all the infants in Bethlehem slain. She'd been married before, but at 16, she left her husband to become Felix's third wife. That's the two individuals that Paul is speaking to. And unfortunately for Felix and Drusilla, there is one main thing that we all must do. We must all make a decision for Jesus Christ. Either we will follow him or we will reject him. Those are the only two choices before us. Verse 25 continues, as he reasoned with them about righteousness and self-control and the coming day of judgment, Felix became frightened. Well, go away for now, he replied. When it's more convenient, I'll call for you again. Basically, he said, okay, Paul, I've heard your sermon and I'm under conviction. Let me think about it and I'll consider being saved at some other time in the future. Proverbs 27:1 says, don't brag about tomorrow since you don't know what the day will bring. Only today has been placed in your hands. God has set you in time. He's locked you into the present to cut you off from the past and the future. He's locked you into the present. Maybe there'll be a tomorrow. Maybe there won't be a tomorrow. We just can't be certain. But either way, you may never hear Christ's voice as clearly as you do today. You may never have that strong feeling that you need to obey him further. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. God's timetable and planning is perfect, and not for our personal convenience either. Today is the day that God has chosen to get your attention. And with God, there are no mistakes or coincidences. St. Augustine said, God has promised forgiveness for your repentance, but he has not promised tomorrow for your procrastination. The Bible teaches us that if the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and we refuse to hear, our hearts can grow calloused, even to the point where we become deaf to what God is trying to tell us. An illustration here of three demons who were graduating from their training in Hell University. And they were taking their final exams, and Satan asked each one of them, what are you going to do to deceive people? The first demon said, well, I'm going to tell people there isn't a God. Satan said, you're not going to convince people with that. Second demon said, well, I'm going to tell people there's no heaven. Satan said, you won't have much luck with that with everyone either. They can sense there's more than just this life. And the third demon said, Satan, I'm going to tell people there's no hurry. Yes, there's a God, and yes, there's a heaven, but you can make that decision any old time you want. And Satan said, congratulations, you have the winning strategy. That is going to deceive millions of people. The trick of the enemy, see, is to have us put it off. God, I'll reconcile with you later. God, I'll reconcile with that other person later. God, I'll give you my life next week. God, I'll take that step of faith, but when it's more convenient for me. As we wrap up the message this morning, there's one question that God confronts you with. What are you waiting for? Is it time to say yes to something the Spirit of God has been tugging your heart to do? Some mission, some ministry, some calling of God that is set aside with your name engraved on it? How long will he continue to tug? How long before the embers of your heart are reduced to ashes? Is it time to get your house in order? Time to mend fences with your husband or your wife or your children, your parents. Time to guide your family back to the arms of a loving Christ and to rebuild the loving home that he wants you all to have. Perhaps it's time to start honoring him in the workplace, to eliminate the practice and those practices that bring him grief. Is it time to surrender to Christ who loved you and died for you? Is it time to turn away from the old sin and make a decision to become a lifelong follower of Jesus Christ? Whatever these things are, I challenge you today, right now, to identify an area or issue in your life that God is calling you to address and where you need His help to address it. Something you know you need to do, but you've been procrastinating. Something you know you need to change, but you're stuck and you haven't been able to act on it. Some area of your life where there might be shame or fear or resistance in your heart. I tell you this, you and I both need to quit rationalizing. We need to quit making excuses. We need to call it what it is. It's a spiritual problem. Procrastination is a spiritual problem. Just say, God, I can't do it, but you can. I need your help. Your clock is ticking down, letting you know that you're running out of time. I was reading for this message this morning and remember a fact that after you take out the time for eating and sleeping and all the other mundane things of our life, that a person who reaches 35 years of age has roughly 500 days of real life left to him. Think about that, 500 days of really living. How are you going to spend it? What is it you're waiting for? Mark Twain and Zig Ziglar were right. They were right about frogs and they're right about life. Do the hard things and get on with your day. You need to eat the frog and move on to the bigger and better things that God has in mind for you. Let us pray.